Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning L'Yidui Nishmasa, L'Zeicher Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom, Mereshem Shev, a continuous Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah learning. So we are on page 152 of the second Sefer. Please, I think that today, please Hashem, we're going to be finishing this chapter. Yes, you're saying yes. On page 152. So I know that a number of people emailed me, they're either still away or they're coming right back from being away, therefore they can't come. So Baruch Hashem, those of us who are here are able to learn together. We're on page 152. Let's just go to the middle of the page where it says, Chazal have taught us, even though we did see a comment last time of Rav Sham Sharon Falish. Oh, if you were not here last week, it's very kedai, because I should have said before I turned on the recording, to go back and listen to last week's shir. Very, very important. Okay. Chazal have taught us a person's yetzer not only renews, but intensifies its onslaught against him each day. And I really find this, and I don't know, just today I was telling me Yetzer Hara that he does a very good job. And I said, what are you doing here? I said, go bother somebody else. That's what I told him. Not that I want Chas V'Shalom to bother anyone else, but just leave me alone. And even tries to kill him, as the Pasuk attests. And we looked at Rav Sham Sharon Falish. This is a Pasuk from Tehillim, Perek Lamed Zayin. We looked at it last time. The Rasha, Tzofer Rasha Litzadik Umevakeh Shamiso. The Rasha, meaning the Yetzer Hara, watches out for the tzaddik and seeks to kill him. However, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not come to his rescue, he would not have a chance. What the Gemara says, V'yomali HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'ozer lo, einu yachalo. As a continuation of the verse says, Hashem will not allow him to fall into his clutches. So even though the Yetzer Hara does such a very good job, ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam will save us, keeping in mind that we have to make efforts to save ourselves. It's not so, you know, the Chazal Maxim, ein so imchim al hanei. So I can't say I'm not going to do my effort and wait for Hashem to save me. I do have to do my effort, but derech shadar motzei lech ba malichin also. Even if I open up a teeny pinhole, I still have to make an opening of effort, and then Hashem will save me. So I can't give in to my Yetzer Hara and say, Hashem, I'm waiting for you to save me. I'm waiting for you to save me. Hashem needs to see that I am taking concrete action. Did we discuss in this class? It was a long time ago. Why did Chazal say the opening of a pinhole and not like, do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a needle.
It's a shuva. It's something with shuva.
No, what I'm trying to say is that it has to be permanent. If you take I don't remember what the two examples are, but if you make a hole in sand with your finger, for example, and you take your finger out, what's going to happen to the hole in the sand? Maybe not that second, but it's going to close up. If you take a pin and you make a prick in paper, what's going to happen? It's going to stay there. You made a permanent hole. So what we have to show Hashem is that we're making permanent change. It might be very teeny. It might be a very small degree of effort. I might feel, I can't do any more if you don't help me, Hashem. But I'm doing something concrete to change. You understand? Like the pin in the paper. I don't remember what it was in relation to, but do you understand? It has to be concrete. I have to show Hashem I really made a real change. Then, Hashem will not allow to fall into the clutches of the Yetzer Hara. How does Hashem come to his rescue? Okay, so this we didn't do this paragraph last time. He takes the power of the Yetzer. Yetzer, by the way, just means inclination. We have the Yetzer Tov and we have the Yetzer Hara. He takes the power of the Yetzer back that he sent to the person and he reconnects it to its root. Does anyone really understand that sentence? I'm not being facetious. I'm asking a serious question. He takes the power of the Yetzer back and he sent to the person and reconnects it to its root. I'm not exactly sure what that sentence means. Hashem takes back the power of the Yetzer that he sent us and reconnects it to its root. I'm asking a question.
Root, like Yetzer Tov, maybe he takes the Yetzer and he puts it back in focus.
I'm not sure exactly what it means, but Hashem takes, if anyone else has another idea, I'm not discrediting what you said, I'm just saying that I'm not even exactly sure what he's talking about, but fine, it's not Chumash, we don't have to darshan every word, I'm not sure what the intention is, he takes power of the Yetzer back that he sent, he reconnects it to Dru. The Maisa, Hashem takes away the Yetzer Hara once you make that permanent change. It doesn't mean, by the way, the Yetzer doesn't come back in the same disguise and in a different disguise, but okay. Truly, if Hashem would not do this, no man would ever be able to overcome his Yetzer. So I want to tell you what happened to me last week. This is a true story. It's very interesting. On Wednesday in the afternoon, I lecture at the Nautilus in Atlantic Beach. Okay, I'm really lecturing senior citizens. Talk about the age bracket on Meiv Esrim Shana of your grandfather. You should live on Meiv Esrim Shana with a lot of nachas and simcha. I'm really lecturing seniors. Anyway, after the lecture in Atlantic Beach, my mother likes me to go to her house in Atlantic Beach to check on the house when they're not in town. Are the lights okay? Is the water working? Were the pipes chas v'shalom freeze? Empty the mailbox if there's any mail. Just see that the house is okay. Check the boiler room. And every time I go, I never find anything. I'm on a tight schedule, Kanai Nahar, so I always feel like, why am I doing this? I'm not finding anything. I always tell myself, Michal, Baruch Hashem, you have the opportunity. So last week was Parshas Yisro. I finished lecturing on Parshas Yisro at the Novus. The fifth of the service of the Bus is Kabe Yisavicha Vesimecha, Manyan Michonimecha. And I really last week did not go. I was on a very tight work schedule. My parents were just here for my boys' bar mitzvahs. They were just coming back the next week. My mother's back. I said, why do I have to go? And then my Yitzer Tov said, you should be so happy you have the opportunity to go, even though you don't find anything. It's such a mitzvah. My Yitzer Hara said she was just here. She's just coming back. My Yitzer Tov said, Baruch Hashem, you could do the mitzvah. You just finished lecturing on Parshas Yisro. This is a true story. Okay, the fifth Dibras Kabez V'chasimecha, you're not going to go. So I went. The mailbox was empty. The sink works. The lights work. And I'm like, oh, she wants to go to the basement. I have to check the boiler room. I go downstairs. I go to the section that leads to the boiler room, and there's water on the floor. And my mom had chills. No, I literally felt like Hashem was talking to me, because here, I was very, very close to not going. And all the years I'm checking the house, I never found water on the floor. I go down to the boiler. My parents are out of town. Had I not gone to check, it would have been a week till she got back. I didn't know where the water would have been. So right away, I texted my mother. I'm like, there's water on the floor. So when I came, I told her the whole story. I told her the whole story. So she said on the email, she said, thank you. She said, and thank you to your Yetzer Tov. That's what she wanted me. That was really, and I told her the story. It's a struggle that we all go through. This is just one example. But it's a struggle that we all go through. We all have a back and forth between a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer. What should we do? And what should we do? What, he's talking to one person. He's only talking to Michal. The Chaver's talking to everybody. When it says, which I'm about to come up to in the very next sentence. So the Torah is not talking to one person. With your Yetzer Tov and your Yetzer. The cutest was the email. She said, thank you so much, and thank you to your Yetzer Tov. But I remember she had chills when I saw the water on the floor, because I like almost stepped into it. I went, oh! I'm like, Hashem's giving me a sign. You thought you didn't want to come. You thought everything. Even if I didn't find anything, it's for the mitzvah. Maisa, you see that it was there. Thank God I went. Hashem saved me. Truly, if Hashem would not save us, no man would ever be able to overcome his Yetzer. I saw a couple minute video clip of Eli Melech Biderman says Yetzer is just doing his job. I think I mentioned it last week. He's doing his job, so I have to do my job. So what does it mean Hashem saves me in that situation? I still had the battle with my Yetzer Hara. I'm telling you this because I'm sure I'm not the only person here who ever had a striving with their Yetzer Hara. Vayaveg ish imo ad alu so shachar. Yeah.
Is the Yetzer Hara guilt also? Because if you wouldn't have done it, wouldn't you have felt guilty? Is guilt the same?
Well, if there would have been water on the floor then.
If there wasn't any, doesn't it nag at you like, oh.
So what I don't know if I call it guilt. What I try and think to myself, and this helps me, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, is how will this look in the Olam HaMS? Okay. I don't know if that's guilt or whatever it is. I say when I go up and they're going to play this back, how's it going to look? If I went this way, and how's it going to look if I went that way? That helps me. I'm not sure if the word is guilt or just an awareness. For me, it really helps. How's this going to look when I go up and I see this played back? How's it going to look? So, in retrospect, you have to think to yourself, will I regret it if I do or will I regret it if I don't? But my point was that with the Yetzer Hara, it's not that I didn't have the struggle. It doesn't mean Hashem saves you. Ultimately, I made the right decision, but Hashem still allows us to go through the battle, to go through the struggle. It's part of the normal process of being a human being. Ultimately, we daven that we should choose life, choose the right thing. The pasuk says, okay, you should love Hashem, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your ma'o. This is a pasuk that we say every single day, not once a day, multiple times a day. We say in Kriya Shema in the morning, if you daven Arvis, then you say by Tfilas Arvis, and you also say when's the third time we say it? Kriya Shema Al Hamita. So this is a pasuk that we say repeatedly. It's one of the tenets of our faith. It's in Perek Vav in Devarim. Pasuk Hey. It immediately follows the great Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad to be Mekabel Ol Me'achu Shemaim. Va'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Susan, did you listen to Parshia?
The Siracham.
Yes. Ahafta. Okay. So you should love Hashem, God, with all your lev, with all your nefesh, and with all your ma'od. So let's first look in the sefer. Ahava, love, has a numerical value of 13. So if you think about it, aleph, hey, beis, hey, and hey is 10. Beis and aleph is 2 and 1, it's 3, it's 13. And achar is also, you have 1 and 8 is 9 and 4, they're both 13. What do you learn from the fact that ahava is 13 and achar is 13? By the way, Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad, it's interesting. The very next word is ve'ahavta. Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad, what's the very next word? Ve'ahavta. A Jew must love Hashem with all his heart, so that all his thoughts will be one with Hashem. Love one. Also, you should love Hashem, so you could serve the Echad, the Achdus of Hashem. He knows Hashem sent each thought, and it's up to him to return it and reconnect it to its source. I'm still not sure what he means. The second time he says, reconnect it to its root, reconnect it to its source. Does anyone know what he's talking about?
I'm not sure, but I've read this sentence again a few times. I think he means he takes the Yetzer Hara, the power of the Yetzer Hara away from the person, that the Yetzer Hara doesn't have control over the person anymore, and he takes it back to the source, meaning Hashem.
Like, what's the source?
Hashem.
No, but you know why I don't think that's why? Because source is not capital S, and root is not capital R.
Maybe it goes back to its own place, but it doesn't have control over the person.
You anymore? Okay, I know Hashem sent me each thought. That's what we're working on for a few weeks already. Joanna was the only one who said she's working on it with me when I asked a few weeks ago. I hope other people are. I'm really working on that very much. Hashem, you sent me this thought, and it's up to him to return and reconnect with the source. So now he starts to talk about, and I want to go through the Rashis with you, with all your soul. What does it mean, even if he takes your life back to himself? Okay, so let's stop for a minute. Vahafta, you shall love. What I showed Susan is that Targum Uncle says, V'siracham Yasasha Malkach. Uncle's translation, without going into depth in this right now because there's no time, but Uncle's interpretation of Aleph Hei Beis in the Torah is Reish Chasmem, which is just very beautiful, just a Pasha Psha. To love somebody is to have Rachmim on somebody else. Ahav, according to Uncle's, is Reish Chasmem. It's beautiful food for thought. Okay, Vahavka. So first of all, Rashi tells you, what does it mean to love God? Asei Devarav Me Ahava. You should serve God out of love. Why should you serve God out of love specifically? What do you think? Or if you know what Rashi says? There's two modes of divine service. There's Ahava Hashem and there is Yiras Hashem. Interestingly, because I always prepare ahead, in the next chapter he's going to go right and talk about Yiras Hashem. Why should we serve Hashem with Ahava over Yira? Ahava is love and Yira is to revere. Fear is sort of the wrong word, but to revere the Almighty. Okay? You cannot compare one who serves his master from love and one who serves his master from fear. One who, when he serves out of fear, out of yira, if the work becomes too hard, he has animosity towards the master, at the first opportunity he will pick up and leave. Someone who loves the master, even if the work gets difficult, won't pick up and leave. A good way of thinking about this, mashal, is a mother in the home. So maybe it's hard to, I don't know, maybe for some people it's not. What's for supper every night? Maybe for some people it's hard to come up with tonight. Oive, I made one supper last night. I tried to serve it again tonight. That didn't go over so well. So what happens? You have to come up with supper, and now you have to do laundry, and now you have to keep the house clean. You have to wipe the counters. You have to sweep the floor. In the winter, there's snow and rain. In the summer, there's sand. In the fall, there's leaves. So maybe it's hard. So does she leave? I'm not talking about someone who's not normal. Does she leave? It's not so easy. Why doesn't she leave? Well, I'm asking you a question. Are you listening to me? Why doesn't she leave? She serves her household out of ahava. So this is exactly what Rashi is saying. Because there is love, what's Targum Onkelos's interpretation for love? Reish Chasmem, because she is a person who the Rechem, Rachem, Ahava, exudes Rachamim, so therefore she's not going to leave. Oh, it gets hard. Is she going to leave? A mother who's taking the child for therapy, one therapy after another, special needs child, is she going to say, okay, I give up? I'm not talking about a mother who's having a mental breakdown. I'm not talking about a mother who's lacking compassion. I'm not talking about Yodsei Minakal. She's going to say, I'm going to stop doing this? Why not? I'm going to say that. Even if it's hard, you stay there. But if you don't have a connection of Ahav, Aleph Hei Beis, and you don't have a connection of Rachim, Reish Chasmem, then you really don't feel a connection. So what do you do when it gets too hard? You pick up and you leave. I don't have to be here anymore. So, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, if we serve the Ribono Shel Olam from Ahava, then even when it's difficult, sometimes it's not easy to fast for 26 hours on Yom Kippur. For some people it is, for some people it isn't. Maybe for you it's not easy. Sometimes it's not always easy to do the necessary mitzvahs, but if the service is fueled by Ahava Hashem, then we don't pick up and leave. We're the servant who serves me Ahava. Is it clear? Now, there's three ways to serve Hashem, your God, with love. B'chol avavcha. I quoted it a number of times already. Who remembers what Rashi says, b'chol avavcha? I said it a few times already. It is two bases. Oh, b'shnei yitzarecha. That's exactly right. Because really it should be libcha. Why is it two bases? Two hearts. One is my good inclination, and one is my evil inclination. Okay? But davar acha b'chol avavcha with all your heart shelo yalibcha chaluk al hamakom. What does that mean? Shelo yalibcha chaluk al hamakom. What does that mean?
You shouldn't feel split at the time.
You shouldn't feel
split. Like you should know where you.
You shouldn't feel split over or what towards what.
Well, you should know what you want to be doing. You should feel resolute.
Okay, so the lashon is shelo yalibcha chaluk al hamakom. So your heart should not be split. You're saying you should have direction in what you're doing?
Well, you know if it's your Yetzer Tov or your Yetzer Hara. Like
you're relating this back to the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Oh, that's interesting. Because Rashi actually says Davar Acher. Davar Acher usually means
something else.
New interpretation. You're taking it back to Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Okay, anything else? Sholo Yalib Chachaluk Al Hamakom. You shouldn't have
like resentment or something against God. I'm hearing makom as like a kind of shvar, that like I'm equating makom with hamakom.
So like I'm creating
hamakom Hashem.
Yeah.
So I was saying that like you shouldn't have like a split heart. Like you shouldn't have mixed feelings when it comes to God. Like it should be like exclusively Ahava when it comes to Hashem.
Right, so I think that is, and the footnote also, I just glanced at it when you were talking, if you're saying what I think you're saying, is that your heart should not be divided vis-a-vis Hashem. We shouldn't question the goings on in this world, that even when it doesn't make sense to our eyes, my heart should not be divided vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's so much, and we've spoken about this in our class, that we do not understand. Nevertheless, we have to serve Hashem with our complete heart, not to be divided or wishy-washy over questioning what we see in this world. B'chal nafshecha, who remembers what nafshecha is, v'ahavta we spoke about, the mother's not leaving the house just when the going gets hard if she's a normal mother because she loves the people in the home. If we serve God with ahava, then we are not leaving the Ribbono Shel Olam chas v'sham. B'chal ovavcha b'shnei yitzirecha and davar acha shelo yalibcha chaluk al makom. B'chal nafshecha.
Hashem, isn't it that your whole goof that you're supposed to be willing to be Moser Nefesh?
Okay, so even if he takes your life, then you have to love him. The Lashon of Rashi is, Afil hu no ta'as nafshecha. By the way, Rashi is quoting the Gemara, yes. Rashi is quoting the Gemara. And this is the very famous, relates to the very famous Maisa, the incident in the Gemara about the death of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was being killed. He's in the moment of death and they're scraping his flesh with metal combs. And what was he saying? Shema Yisrael Shemakenu. So the Talmidim said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, Rabbi, this is it. Until here's your devotion. Talk about Shelo Yilib Chaluk Alamakam. So he says, Koch Hayai Hayisi Mitzta'er. All my life I was pained by the pasuk, v'ahavta b'chol nafshecha. I was pained, masai avo liyadi. When will I have the opportunity to fulfill? Achshav sheba liyadi, now that I have the opportunity to fulfill loa kayimena, so it's ramesh divine command, b'chol nafshecha. Even if he takes your soul, you still have to love God, no questions. And his soul went out with echar. The Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh Hashem echar, afilu no tals nafshecha. And finally, b'chol me'odecha. So Targum Onkelos is Bechal Nichsach. What's Nichsach? Nechasim? A person's possessions. What did he say?
Your stuff.
Very good. Your stuff. We accumulate a lot of stuff. I say that one of the best parts about moving a year and a half ago was you get to go through everything, your stuff that you've accumulated, and every Sunday the curb was full of things we were throwing out. Oy, oy vey. We live in a society where we can accumulate. So the truth is, b'chal mimonecha. That's the first interpretation of Rashi. You should love Hashem with all your money. Yesh lecha adam, shemimono chaviv alav meguva. You have some people who love their money more than they love their own bodies. L'kach ne'mar, therefore it says, b'chal mimonecha, love Hashem with all your ma'od, with all your resources, with all your stuff, with all your nechasim, says Targum Onkos. Some people talk a love the money more than themselves. I don't know, that's what Chazal say. Davar Acher, b'chol me'odecha, who remembers the second, the Davar Acher in this case? Who remembers? B'chol mida u'mida, she'modeidach, with each and every mida, with each and every measure that he measures out to you. Ben b'mida tova, ben b'mida per'ano. So you have to love him with all your ma'od, whether it's the mida of tova, whether you see bracha in your life, or it's mida per'ano, whether you see difficulty in your life. So that really relates to shlo yelibcha chaluk al ha'makom. It's not hard to be close with God when I have the mida tova in my life, but b'mida per'ano, when I don't understand, when I have difficulty, do I have an exemption from loving Hashem? Absolutely not. V'chein David Omer, just like now Rashi quotes Tehillim. We're going to say it in Harol, actually. We're coming up to Rosh Chodesh. On the one hand, King David says, and Rashi quotes, is Kos Yishuos Asa Uvashem Hashem Echo. When I lift the cup of salvation, Bein B'mida Tova, I call the name of Hashem. On the other hand, what else does David HaMelech say? Tzara V'yagon Emtza. Nevertheless? V'shem Hashem Ekra. On the one hand, Kos Yishuos Esso V'shem Hashem Ekra. Everything is Gishmak in my life. V'shem Hashem Ekra. Thank you, Hashem. There's no doubt. My leib is not Chaluk Al Makom. Everything is Gishmak. And then sometimes, Tzar V'yagon Emtza. Tzarat, Tzaros, Yagon, moaning, sighing, crying. Nevertheless, V'shem Hashem Ekra. B'chal Mida U'mida Shemodei Decha. Ben B'mida Tova. There is no exemptions. There are no excuses. So let's look in the Sefer now. Page 153. Yes. Wait, could you talk? It's not your fault. It's not my fault either. But could you try and talk? Let's see if I could hear you without the interpreters on the side. Even though you get a mitzvah. For me.
I'm loud. It's just that I mumble.
You're going to mumble?
No, not purposely.
Now she's going to mumble.
I have a lot of years of practice. I almost feel like Rashi's two interpretations for Levavcha work with the phrase that we didn't understand in the book.
Okay.
So I get the sense that when he's talking about taking the Yetzer back, he's taking away the Yetzer Hara, which is that first part of the Rashi.
Okay.
And he's giving it back to your leib. Like, he's reconnecting the Yetzer, he's taking away that separation between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. That, like, now that Yetzer Hara can be used as part of the Yetzer Tov. When I tell Hashem, take back this Nizayim, I don't want it, it's because Hashem, I want to come with you with exclusively love. So that's why Hashem's taking back the Yetzer Hara, like, he's putting it back into the experience. He's putting that Yetzer Hara, like, together with the Yetzer Tov. I'm using the Yetzer Hara now as part of my Yetzer Tov.
Using the Yetzer Hara constructively. So it's interesting you're saying that, because Chazal say, Ayar Lokimus Kalashar Savahine Tov Ma'od, Bereshus Perak Al Pasuk Lamed Al, the last Pasuk in Parak Aleph of Bereshis, when Hashem finishes creating the world. Finally, it says, V'alkim is kol ha'shar, so v'hinei tov ma'od. You know what Chazal say on ma'od? That's the Yetzer Hara. Tov is good. Throughout creation, we've been told it's tov. Ma'od is the Yetzer Hara. So how could it be the Yetzer Hara? You use it in service of the divine. So Chazal say, without a Yetzer Hara, a person would never build a house. A person would not enter into business. Because I'll say without a Yetzer Hara, a person would not marry a woman and have children. So I think that's what you're trying to say. Is this what you're trying to say? That the Yetzer Hara can be used to serve Hashem properly. That's not what I say, by the way. That's Chazal on Tov Me'od.
So telling Hashem what we've been working on, that Hashem, take this back, I don't want it anymore. It's acknowledging it and then kind of transforming it from the Yetzer Hara to the Yetzer Tov. I'm taking this thing that used to be a problem and now allow it to reconnect into Hashem.
So that's what Chazal say. Without the HR, a person would not marry a woman.
No, so I'm saying that in that act of saying, Hashem, take it back, we're transforming it from Yetzer Hara to Yetzer Tov. I'm using this action to kind of now reconnect it back to my own leib.
Okay, that's interesting. You're changing it.
That's why it's like reconnecting back to my leib. I'm putting it back to a different source.
Okay. 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 If we can do that, that's...
No, it's not something I'm doing.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Let's look at the top, page 153. With all your soul, b'chol nafshecha, is taught by Chazal to mean, even if he takes your life back to himself. Okay, afilu no talos nafshecha. The soul, we already spoke about Rabbi Akiva, and many, many, many millions of kedoshim in our long history. The soul is naturally bound to the Creator. Of course it is. It's a part of the Creator. We must therefore be ready each day to consciously reconnect it in a state of unity rhythm. It's not mine anyway. It's housed in this finite body. But the soul is infinite. It does not belong to me. The truth is that Rashi quoting Chazal on each of these aspects of loving Hashem all really relate to each other. B'chol avavcha, you should serve him with your two yetzers. Your heart should not be divided over Hashem. If your heart's not divided over Hashem, then when they come to you, b'chol nafshecha, there's no questions. You're ready to give up your life. Do you understand that each one really leads into the other? You're ready to give up your life because you're serving God with b'chol libcha. Shelo yeh libcha chal gamakom. My heart's not divided vis-a-vis the way that Hashem runs the world, so then a Jew is ready to give up his life. Do you understand that part? And therefore, b'chol mida umida shemode decha ben b'mida tova ben b'mida per anus, then I will serve him with anything that I have because my heart's not divided. I'm prepared to give up my life, and therefore I serve God with each and every measure that he gives you. So they really all stem from the same source, the Ahava. From Ahava, they follow a natural progression. I love God with all of my Yetzer, with both of my Yetzers. I'm not divided over Hashem. Because I'm not divided over Hashem, I'm prepared even to give up my life for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if I'm prepared to give up my life, then certainly I can say, Kos Yeshuos Asa V'Shem Hashem Akrat, Sara V'Yagan Emso V'Shem Hashem Akrat. One follows into the other. And because my soul is from Hashem, I have to be ready each day to consciously reconnect in a state of uni with him. Is your hand up? Was this your hand? No. With all your resources, b'chol me'odecha, means that even the sparks of holiness hidden in your possessions must be harnessed for love and unity with Hashem, which is a very nice pshat, by the way, because he's not saying with all your money, even though, by the way, you do have to serve Hashem literally with your possessions. You said with all your stuff, which is a very cute answer. But b'chol me'monecha also means with all your money. Shmura matzah, lulav, Esrog, keeping kosher, Shabbos clothing, Shabbos food. It is, there are obviously many expenses incumbent upon a Torah observant. It doesn't have to be fancy to be added expenses. There are still extra expenses. So with all your resources does mean, says Rashi, b'chol mimonecha, says Unkus, b'chol nechascha. However, he adds a beautiful pshat here. With all your resources means even the sparks of holiness hidden in your possessions must be harnessed for loving you with Hashem. I think what he's saying is that to take all your gashmias and make your ruchnias, channel that gashmias, everything that you have in your home, in yourself, and your being, has sparks of holiness that can be used for avodas Hashem. And if you use those sparks of holiness for your avodas Hashem, you are serving a b'chol me'odecha. It's a very beautiful pshat.
I'm just thinking about Yaakov Avinu, how he went back to get the bakbukim and he wrestled with the malach, and then he got the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel, and we use that in Shema, which is part of our declaration of, you know, Amunah and connectedness.
Wait, stop. No. Who got the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel? He gave the bracha of Hamalach HaGoel.
The malach, the sar that he
He wrestled the angel, and he says, Shacheni ki Allah ha-shachar.
Right.
It's my turn to sing Shira, says Rashi. And Yaakov says, ki lo ha-shalecha ad im berchani. I won't send you till you have blessed me. But did you say Hamalach HaGoel? Did I hear correctly? That doesn't occur till the end of Bereishis, when Yaakov blesses.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, at any rate,
okay.
Yaakov went back.
Yeah, wait, I just want to clarify. Let me just finish my sentence. Okay. Then I'm going back to your thought. I just want to clarify so we're all on the same page here. Yaakov, in Vayechi, before his death, before the Birkas to all the Shvatim and Perek Mem Tes, blesses Yosef through Ephraim and Menasha with Hamalach HaGoel. We should just know where it comes from and what we're saying.
Thank you. I'm sorry
okay.
for confusing anybody.
Chas v'sham, it's fine. You don't have to be sorry. But what were you trying to say? Go back. But Yaakov, one second. Yaakov does go back for Pachim Ketanim. It's
right.
Not Bagbukim. Pachim Ketanim. He does, and he wrestles with the angels, so go ahead.
Right, but this is that there was holiness in those Pachim Ketanim, that he was, you know, he saw the holiness in everything that he had, that everything that he had was from Hashem, and everything was to be treated with a reverence and respect because it all came from Hashem.
Very nice. And, even the smallest vessel can be used as a voice of Hashem. So it's beautiful because you know what Chazal say, Pachim, and when do we use something with that word? Exactly. So Chazal say it's the Pach Shemen that was found by the miracle of Chanukah, which really adds to your Ha'ara that you're relating to what we just learned, that the most mundane thing, went back for some small jars. I mean, he's about to battle with the arch enemy Esau. He's afraid for his whole family's life. Like, what would you think to yourself? Just leave the jars. Who cares about the jars? You're about to be annihilated. Like, seriously, it costs 50 cents. We could do without. But he went back, you're saying, the smallest nekuda of Gashmis can be used in Ruchnis. And what was his reward? It became the greatest Ruchnias, because he cared about every element in his life. He recognized that every single thing I have, the piece of paper in my house, the challah in my home, the sink in my home, everything Gashmias is used for Ruchnias. So he was rewarded that Hashem was masking. Hashem said, you went back for some small jars. They will become the greatest jars in the history of Knesset Yisrael. For millennia, we will be lighting and remember those jars. What do we do with them? We elevate them, make it into the holiest Ruchnias. Very nice. So what are you saying? You're talking about with all your resources, even the sparks of holiness hidden in your possessions. You're saying the smallest possession. Very nice. Must be harnessed for loving you with Hashem. Very nice. So I just saw something else that's really cool. This is interesting. B'chom ha'odacha, ladies, you with me? So when you started talking before about the Yetzer Hara, that we need to utilize it actually. So I quoted Chazal. Chazal say, without the Yetzer Hara, the ultimate example is man would not marry a woman without a Yetzer Hara. Then there would be no Purim Ruvim Milus Taras for Kivshua, because nobody would be interested in being with a member of the opposite gender without the Yetzer Hara. But Chazal comment on the pasuk, V'yalkim eskol ha'sharas avihinei tov me'od. So Chazal also say on that word me'od, what are the letters of me'od? By the way, it's the same letters as here. If you scramble the word me'od, what is that? Adam. That's right. Adam is very good. He has the greatest potential to reach the greatest, he has the capability to reach the greatest potential of all of humanity. All the beasts that Hashem created are beautiful. I have a friend who just went on an African lion safari. I said to her, I feel like you're in the BBC documents I watch when I'm on the trip. I can't believe where you went. Marbu Masach Hashem. They came across a zebra that had given birth like 5 minutes before. The baby was still in the placenta. She showed me videos. She showed me pictures. They watched the baby take its first steps. You could hear the guide saying on her video, we just missed the birth. I mean, but as beautiful as they are, they don't have the capacity of ma'od because they can only reach a certain level. I'm going to follow the grass rains. I'm going to follow the rains to find the grass. I'm going to cross the Masamaya River when I have to cross the river. The lion's going to go after the wildebeest when it's hungry. It doesn't have choice. Only Adam is tov me'od because Adam is limitless in what man can achieve. What's interesting is, since we brought up that parak al pasuk lamed alf in Bereishis, is b'chol me'odacha is also me'od. Me'od is the same as Yetzer Hara, but it's also this, which is b'chol avarcha, but it's also the same when you switch letters around as Adam. So what does it mean? You have to love Hashem with your whole personality, with your whole self. If you love God with your two Yetzers, and your heart's not divided over Hamakom, therefore you'll be willing to give up your nefesh for Hashem, and that's really the totality of man. I serve God with all my possessions. I serve God with my entire soul. I am not divided over Hashem because I serve him with my Yetzer Tov and my Yetzer B'chol Me'odacha. That is the godless of Adam, that I can reach the greatest heights. You understand what we're doing here? Is everyone with me? It's unbelievable. It's very, very beautiful. And what you said is also very, very beautiful. Because he went back and he showed that the smallest gashmis can be used by as important as to a Jew, so Hashem rewarded him with the greatest ruchnias. Beautiful. The greatest light from darkness. Beautiful. If you do not restore and reconnect all the thoughts of your heart, your soul, nafshcha, and the parts of yourself that are most distant from Hashem, perhaps he means me'od, you have not reached the state of those. So I actually want to quote from Rav Elimelech Biderman. I haven't printed him up for a while, but this past Shabbos I did print up Rav Biderman. There's always something very important to learn. So it's interesting because he's talking about the Yetzer Hara, which is really what we're talking about, based on the mitzvah of Lo Tachmod. Lo Tachmod is the 10th of the Aseres Hadibros. And someone even said in one of my classes, I don't remember which venue, but she said it seems so petty compared to the other ones. I cannot remember which venue it was, but it doesn't matter. I don't remember exactly who said it, but she said, Anochi Hashem. Lo yelacha lo mechem alpanai. Shabbos. I know I skipped on. Lo tizra shem lo kshach al shab. Kabeis avicha vesimecha. Lo tirtach, lo tignav, lo tinaf, not in that order. Lo sana brecha yitshagar. Lo tachmod. Beis re'echa, eishas re'echa. You understand? It's an interesting comment. You shall not murder. You shall not steal, what Rashi says, is kidnapping. You shall keep the Sabbath day, guard it to keep it holy. You shall only serve Hashem. Otachman means, says Rabbi Nerman, which is what it means, one shouldn't desire the good of his fellow man. The Ibn Ezra writes, many people wonder about this mitzvah. How could a person possibly not desire the good that he sees by others? This is also probably a Yetzirah that many of us struggle with. We see success by other people in certain realms, whatever the realm is. We may be lacking in that success, and it's natural inclination of man. What's interesting is that Lo tirtzach, lo tignov, lo tinaf, lo sana bereche checker on the second luach, on the shnei luchos habris, are all actions. Lo tachmud is an emotion or a feeling that will lead to an action. The problem with lo tachmud is you will come to do, to be over lo tignov if you covet badly enough. You will come to be over lo tirtzach. It's not a joke. People have killed over money. Sure they have. I will come to murder if my desire is strong enough. The Beis Halevi adds, what should a person do if he desires what other people have? The Beis Halevi is chusso yagana lena rav yasher bar salvejik. What should he do? How can the Torah, says Rabbi Biderman, demand of a person to control his heart? Now isn't that the first thing we say in Shema, Vahavta es Hashem Elkecha b'chol levavcha. The Torah demands that we control our heart. So Rabbi Nerman says, how is it possible that the Torah could command my actions, you shall not kill? But here the Torah is commanding the feeling in my heart. How is that possible, says Rabbi Nerman. So first he gives one answer. The Igra Dekala answers, one should believe his lot is the most ideal for him. As we know, Ezu Asher Samech B'chalko. Hashem knows what's best for me, so what does that mean to be jealous of others? Maybe that person has more money, but I'm not lacking anything. This is the classic answer, really, that would be, even though Rabbi Nerman doesn't quote Chazal, Pirkei Avos, Pirk Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, who is a rich person happy with his portion? Then I see no need to be looking at what somebody else has. Furthermore, the Ibn Ezra writes, a person never desires something that's impossible. But Pinkus talks about this in regard to tefillah in his Sha'ar B'Tefillah. He says, a person never davens for three arms. Why not? It would be very useful to have. On the other hand, it would be very useful to have eyes in the back of your head. So why don't you daven for that? Because why?
It's out of the realm. Like, it's beyond what we would consider feasible.
Because al piteva, it's impossible. So if something is impossible, it's exactly right. I don't desire or pray for it, says Rav Pinkus, because I know it's never going to happen. Al piteva, since the beginning of time, human beings have two arms, naturally. He writes, this is the reason people don't desire to fly like birds. This is the reason. It's a famous mamar of the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk. That's why the farmer doesn't desire to marry the king's daughter. When something is impossible, you don't desire it. So if I see that that person's thing is theirs, mine is mine, it should be impossible for me to think I can acquire what belongs to somebody else, and therefore I shall not desire it. The base, one second. Okay. The Beis Halevi, now we beat him in quotes of Beis Halevi, says, many wonder how the Torah can command us not to desire. What should a person do if he does desire something? So the Torah says, lo tachmat. So no one ever found themselves in a situation where you looked at somebody else's life and you say, wouldn't it be nice if I had that? I really wish I had that. Wow, you never find yourself in a situation where you covet, never in your whole life? We're not the Gedolei Hadar. We're normal people. The Torah says, lo tachmon. It means it's natural inclination to sometimes desire what somebody else has. So what should I do if I see somebody else's good fortune? Beis reyecha, chamaro, avado, shoro, eishas reyecha, v'chol asher reyecha. So what should I do? Everyone can imagine. Now, the Beis Halevi gives a very good answer, and it relates exactly to our learning tonight. Everyone can imagine being in a situation where you're confronted by temptation. Whatever the temptation is, you're in the midst of the throes of a battle with your Yetzirah. He's being tempted by something, and this is Rabbi Biderman, and he's talking about Otachma, but it relates exactly to our Shir. You're being tempted by something. Quote, the Yetzirah is burning in your heart. On the way to fulfill your temptation, this is the Beis Halevi, is quoted by Rabbi Biderman, you pass a river covered with ice. He's rushing to fulfill his needs, he slips on the ice and he almost falls into the river. At that moment, as he's about to fall, what happens to the temptations of his yetzer hara? Imagine yourself in the situation. What happens at that moment? They're gone. Why? Because what does he care about now? The only thing he cares about is what? Fear for his life. He's about to drown. He's about to have hypothermia. He's about to get stuck in the ice hole. That's a fisherman. Does he care anymore about the temptation that he was running to have? That is totally insignificant. All he cares about is, I'm about to die in this hole, the man is going to say. The sudden fear removes all temptation. This is the nature Hashem has placed in creation. A drop of fear removes temptation. It's true, you can want something badly enough, but the minute you're afraid, are you going to go after it anymore? No, because you're afraid. Therefore, the Torah commanded lo tachmod. If a person would be afraid of this prohibition, this small fear would remove temptation. Listen what he writes. Many people think they have an excuse for all their sins. They claim, what could I do? I was tempted by the Yetzer. Is that going to work when we get out there? Remember, we started this year by saying, you have to make a pinhole. You have to show Hashem you're seriously interested in change. Not a finger in sand that when the high tide comes, what's going to happen to the hole in the sand? It's going to get washed away. It has to be a permanent hole through the wood. It might be teeny, but you got to show Hashem. So it's not going to work. When I get up to the Yeshiva Shalmala, I can't say, Hashem, what could I do? I was tempted by the Yetzer, so I failed. The Rav says this, last week's parsha, one of my most favorite words. That's such an oxymoron when I say it. It's such a stira. That's not true. But one of my most favorite words, Avraham Salavitrik, is, Lotivna Esen Gazis. Who remembers? We learned it in this class. When you build a Mizbech, you're not allowed to wave your sword over it. You will defile the Mizbech. You have to put the stones together as they come out of the earth. Who remembers what the Rav says? What Rav Salavitrik said? Why can't you smooth the stones? Exactly. The Mizbech is a symbol of kapara. It represents the sin of man. So when I stand before Hashem, says the Rav, I can't be melamei tzchus upon myself. He says, if a person is melamei tzchus upon himself, as he comes to kapara, he says, that's not kapara. He says, quote, that's worthless. What am I going to say? Memelei ribono shel my dagas ha-parnasa. I had a yetzer hara. It was very hard for me, so I sinned. The Torah says you can't. So, continuing with Rav Biederman, you can't say, what could I do? I was tempted. That's not a valid claim. Because with a drop of yira, his Yetzer would flee. Which kind of year is he talking about here? Not year of falling into the ice, but which kind of year? Year is Hashem. Exactly. With a drop of year Shamayim, never mind the level of the hafta, with a drop of year Shamayim, I would envision, I would understand that I'm about to drown and get hypothermia in the frozen lake. With a drop of year Hashem, excuse me, that fear destroys the strength of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara's strength is mostly, he causes people to forget, I'm talking to myself. Oy. He's very good at his job. We should take a lesson from him, how to be a diligent worker. Forget the ants. We should learn from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara's strength is mostly he causes people to forget Yiras Shamayim. Because if you maintain a drop of fear vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, I would envision that I'm slipping on the ice. Every temptation would go out the window. I don't care anymore about the woman that I'm running to. The man would say, I'm about to drown. What's she going to help me if I get to her? I'm about to drown. The Yetzer Hara's strength is he causes people to forget Yira Shamayim. This is the explanation of the pasuk. What does Hashem ask from you? Ma'ashem elkecha sho'al mimach from Devarim. Ki im li yira es Hashem elkecha. Because if you have yira shamayim, everything else will fall into place. I will not be afraid because I revere the Almighty and I'm afraid of Hashem. So it's true, we're striving to reach oivei. We're striving to reach a level of v'ahavta es Hashem elokecha. But before v'ahavta, if you have a healthy sense of awareness of Yiras Shamayim, you can battle the Yetzer Hara with all of your resources. May Hashem enable our prayer to be a true vessel for bonding our 248 limbs, our 365 sinews to Him. May He allow us to be truly close to Him. Alavai, amen, v'amen. Any further comments or questions? Okay, Besoros Tovus, everybody, stay warm, even if we're not in Chicago or Toronto. Besoros Tovus, have a good Shabbos, ladies.